Matthew 17, 19 says, Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? Asked him in private. Jesus says, you don't have enough faith, as he told them. He says, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. I want to teach from the height of my subject, which is the mountain is a problem, but not the issue. The mountain is the problem, but not the issue. Before you take your seats, just ask somebody, have you looked beneath the surface? Don't answer them back. Just take it and take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We had an awesome time at Glens Grove Missionary Baptist for the last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. For those of y'all that didn't come out and fellowship with us, we was praying with you and for you. But we had an awesome time dealing with their subject title concerning holiness. And I thought it was fitting that we would teach and preach on holiness is right. And we was talking to the youth at a youth revival, something that you don't hear or see too often. Yet alone do you hear churches talk about holiness anymore. Even the holiness churches has fallen away, some of them, from talking about and teaching about holiness. And so now you have a youth revival today in this culture talking about how to live holy. I just want to share a little bit with the church, because the first thing that God told me concerning holiness is, before you teach me how to dress holy, how to talk holy, and how to have holy etiquette in the church, how about teaching me how to live holy? If you teach me how to live holy, then my dress will change automatically. Can I get an amen? All right, I had to see if I had any old school church members in here. I won't get too many amens from the millennials. But if you teach me how to live holy, then I can change my appearance. In fact, my appearance will automatically change. The Bible teaches to dress in modesty, you know, to make sure you cover up. Ladies, cover your breasts, cover your behind, you know, cover your legs and all that good stuff. Basically, what it's saying is, do not become a threat. To God's people in the house of God. Watch this. Or when you're not in the house of God. Right? You know, dress appropriately. That really doesn't mean, you know, cover every piece of your skin, every part of your skin up. That just means dress, you know, the way that you're supposed to dress. All right. All right. Y'all don't like that already. Today, before I close, I want to make sure that you get an understanding of fasting for your deliverance. Fasting for your deliverance. In fact, this message, I want you to take notes. I'm going to do my best, and God is going to do the rest. I want you to take notes concerning this particular text, because it's struggling with a problem, not identifying the issue. And this is God's people, and I'm going to talk about this mountain experience. Just real quick here, I'm going to try to get us out of here, but thus saith the Lord. Amen? Most of us know that God has the power to deliver us, but somewhere along the lines, we're caught in the crossfire where we often wonder, while we are in the midst of our situation, will he actually deliver me from my struggles? So today, I want to really focus on faith. having the right faith that you need in order to pull through your situation. We read the text in Matthew 17. So I want to ask you a question. How do I deal with the bondages of life? How do I deal with the bondages of life? I mean, the things which I desperately desire to be delivered from. I'm coming down your row. That's a question. That is a question. To appreciate where I'm going with this, one must first understand the concept involved of a mountain. Verse 20 teaches us that says, if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed. Somebody say mustard seed. You could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Now let me pause right here, because the church that really doesn't study the text takes these scriptures out of context. And so when you're trying to be transparent and truthful to people and you're sharing your experience and sharing your mountain experience, you get some of those church folks who's high up, so kingdom minded that they can't operate down here. Child, just speak to it and tell it to move. Well, don't you know I've been doing it ever since I've been saved? I've been speaking to my mountain, and I'm trying to let you into my world, and my mountain has not moved and is still standing before me. Somebody said we got to go a little bit deeper. The concept of a mountain means a difficulty you cannot climb over. He's not talking about a literal mountain here. He's talking about a mountain symbolically, that is, a situation in your life where you are stuck. Anybody ever been stuck? Anybody ever been stuck in transit? The reason he uses the word mountain is within the context in which this story is founded upon. Jesus has taken James, watch this, Peter and John to the mountain of transfiguration. On this mountain, chapter 17 and 1 says, a mountain that is called, he was in verse 2 transfigured before them. The Father said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Watch this. Elijah and Moses showed up from the Old Testament. Peter, James, and John are there from the New Testament. So you now have the whole Word of God represented as the Son of God being supervised by the Father at this glorious mountain experience. When they descended the mountain and came down, they discovered that there were other mountains. You know what it's like to come to a worship service on an awesome, miraculous Sunday where the worship is high in that morning and have to leave that mountaintop experience, leave church. And then when you leave church, you hit this valley experience of what we would call despair, because you run into mountains that you cannot handle. Whatever your mountain is, it's fundamentally controlled by what? By your mind. And so he says what Satan does is that he builds mountains, watch this, or strongholds by blocking off access of divine power. Teach, Pastor. Oh, y'all better take notes today because I can't get too far up there because my voice will leave me. And then I'm going to toss the mic to see who's really been studying. Talk to me. Just so you don't feel too bad, let me show you an illustration of what we would call, for those of us that study the gospel, students of the gospel, we would call the greatest Christian of the Bible. The greatest Christian of the Bible, he discussed, he shared with us about strongholds. He's found in Romans 7, and his name is Paul. Paul is an apostle. Watch this. And he had a point in his life where he struggled with a mountain. He does not say what the mountain was, but he does describe the struggle of the mountain. He says in verse 18 of Romans 7, for I know that nothing good in me dwells in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. Woo! In other words, when I would do good, evil was always present. Why? Because it was living, residing in me. I had a mindset. I have a movement. I was motivated to do right, but I somewhere down on the inside had some evil present. I can imagine Paul discussing, and he did, because we find some things in 1 Thessalonians where Paul was dealing with an issue, right? And he's talking to the church, and he tells the church, you cannot win without the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost that worketh in you. There is nothing that we can do without the Holy Spirit. We struggle because we don't operate in the Holy Spirit. We try to do it on our own strength, in our flesh, and baby, your flesh will lose every single time because your flesh wants to win. So if you listen to your flesh, you're going to always lose the battle because you can't do it in your own strength. we say things like, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. We have different personalities, different struggles. Let me help you out. When you got married, you had different personalities. You had different struggles. Talk to me. Why is it when things are going wrong and hell shows up, now you want to identify you all's your difference? Oh, we're not compatible. Were you compatible when you got married? Talk to me. Were you compatible when you were booed up? Were you compatible when you was dating? Were you compatible when you was in the back seat of the trunk? Were you compatible? Didn't nobody want to discuss compatibility then, right? Because you felt like you were compatible. But when you started going through some things, now you want to go back and take notes and check and see where you come from, where you come from. That's why we do counseling. I check your background. And do you know about their background? Do you know how they were raised? Do you know if they came from a single parent home? Pastor, why are you asking this? Because the functionality of their minds are going to be totally different. I'm going to tell you, like I told the first service, I feel better than I sound. So don't trip. I'm still here. Paul is making a point. He said, man, life is hard. It's a struggle. And when I would do good, evil was always present because what's living inside of me. Can I get a witness? This life is a struggle. If anybody tell you that it's not, they're lying. He says, it is not that I don't want to do right. But for some strange reason, I don't seem able to do right. He goes on to say, for the good I wish, I do not do, because I practice the very thing that I do not wish. The bad news is, that's called a mountain. The good news is, Paul's a witness. In other words, he's been there. And so when you're talking to somebody who is a witness, who is flesh and blood like you, that can experience and talk about some of the same challenges and struggles that you have, I'm talking to Christian people. Because sometimes we get so high, so mighty, that we feel like that we've always been saved all of our life. And we say, I can't believe you're doing that. I can't believe they did that. Guess what? You must have forgot. You were doing it too. And some of you, when you get saved, talk to me on Saturday night and Friday. Hey, I thought I had the right church. Verse 23 says, I don't have two different things. He identifies that he has two different things working inside of him. He talks about I have a different law in the members in my body, waging war against the law of my mind. He says, I got this conflict, a mountain experience is being locked into a situation that you don't want to be locked in. Now, if you are locked into this situation because you want to be, then that's called rebellion. Rebellion equals sin. Watch this. But I'm talking about a situation that you know is wrong. Talk to me, Pastor. I'm talking to myself. But you don't want to be a part of it. You can't shake it or be delivered from it. Come on, I'm talking to every row in here. Woo! Y'all don't want to give me an amen, but you know I'm talking right about now. Right? You got something that you want to shake, but you can't shake it. You know it's not right, but you keep doing it, and you do it because it feels good. Huh. I better talk to myself. Because y'all ain't trying to help me. You do it because it feels good. Let's just be real. You do it because it feels good. You do it because it feels good. Talk about when you was in sin, you did it, it felt good. You was drinking, you was smoking, you was snorting. You was sexing, you was walking, you was talking. You was dancing. You was praising, but it wasn't no praising God. You did it because it felt good. There's a conflict because in this life of holy living, the law says you can't do it. I says, the law says I can't do it, but I'm going to come over here and I'm going to do it anyhow. Because somebody told me that we have a gracious God. But you know what? Everything comes with a consequence. And yes, he's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a forgiving God. But all things have consequences. So you better rest assured when you do things outside the will of God, that it's going to come with a price. I told him this morning that freedom comes with a price. Freedom comes with a price. It's called the price of responsibility. So whenever God gives it to you or extends his arm to you so you can operate in it, baby, you got to operate it with total responsibility. Because when you're irresponsible, you will lose the things of God. Whew. My goodness, that's another word, another sermon for you right there. This mountain experience that I don't want to be a part of, I can't shake, I can't be delivered from it. It's called the mountain in your life, a stronghold. That was a situation in Matthew 17. Watch this. I have a young man here that's been brought to the Lord. Verse 15, the Lord have mercy on my son because he's a lunatic. He is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. You read the story. This young man was or has been locked into this mountain of his life. Mark tells us that he couldn't speak. Mark tells us that he couldn't hear. Mark tells us that he would foam at the mouth and that he would go into convulsions. Right? And let them tell you how you know that you have a mountain. How do you know? Number one, you know that you have a mountain when you want to get rid of it, but you can't. Makes me think of when Paul says, I've got a thorn in my flesh. Oh, that's another subject. Verse 16, and I brought him in to your disciples and they couldn't cure him. Even folk that I thought was going to be able to help could not help him. You know it's a mountain when you go to folk that's supposed to be able to help and they can't even help you. The folk who God gave all the authority to, right? The folks that you go and show up and I know that you're God's man, you're God's woman, you're going to help me out of this situation. There's a struggle. A mountain is when you've done all that you can do. You've gone through the 12-step program. Watch this. You've hit the, I'm gonna come down your road. You done called the psychic hotline. You done checked the horoscope. I know y'all been there. I saw you turn the pages, right? You're all in the horoscope trying to figure out the problem. What's the issue? You've called on the pastoral staff, right? You done called on the deacons. You done hit some of the ushers, some of the parishioners of the church. You done hit up everybody and can't nobody help. So that means that you tried believers and non-believers. You tried the faithful and the unfaithful. You tried the righteous and the unrighteous. You tried everybody. You went outside of the conference of the will of God and outside of God's people just to experience and see if you can get an answer. A 900 psychic hotline calling Donna Warwick. What's her name? Can you help me? She still do that. Right? Trying to get answers. Right? But you hadn't called on Jesus. Watch this. I'm going to help you here. There's a struggle. Number two, there's a confusion about mountains. I'm coming. The father says in verse 15, my son is a lunatic. Watch this now. Part of the problem is that they were looking at the external activity of the boy to determine the diagnosis of the problem. Whew. They was looking at the external. You lost me. They were looking at the external activity. Don't we do that sometimes? Look at this. Anytime the boy would see fire, the Bible teaches that he would jump into the fire. Anytime he would see a puddle of water, he would jump into the water. Anytime you live like this, you develop what we call scars. Anybody got any scars? Look at this mountain experience. It has caused him to have some scars. And where you've been cut up by your situation and your problems and your issues is where you develop scars. The Bible gives it to us in a literal sense, but when I talk to you on a different level concerning the spiritual battle, you've got some scars in your life that can't nobody see. You've got some things wrapped and covered over your body that some things people can see, some things folks can't. That's why it's important to be transparent, because many times we only expose what folks can see. But that's only surface level. I just don't want to see about your scar. Tell me how you got the scar. That lets me into your world. If we're going to be wife, intimate, I've got to get into her world, right? Because I don't want the scar to become a hindrance to the relationship. I need to know where the scar came from so I can help you fight that battle, so that we can get you healed from the very thing that created the scar. Watch this. Is it a possibility, talk to me, Egypt, in slavery? Is it a possibility that you carry scars, right? And the reason that you're still in the wilderness is for the underlying issue of the scar? Whew. Oh, you got to let that process for a minute, right? We carry these scars. You see, when we see scars, we think healing. Just because you have a scar with a little scar tissue does not mean that you are healed. Yeah. I walk around the church, look at my scar, look at these battle wounds. Yeah, yeah, but have you been healed from those issues? Are you carrying those things? That's the reason why the blood won't flow freely in your life. You see, I've been able, and it's amazing, God has given me a gift, and I've been able to identify people that still struggle with issues. And when oftentimes when I have meetings, I point them out, and folks become frustrated and intimidated because, like, what you talking about? Because I observe your responses and your actions. So when I identify truth in your life that you haven't expressed with me, now you're upset and combative and don't want to come see me anymore. Don't want to come to the church. Don't want to preach. Don't want to hear preaching. Don't want to do nothing. You know why? Because we put a highlight on your underlying issue. You can go to the doctor all your life and pay the doctor money, 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 and they never identify the issue. All you're going to do every time is cover the scar. Why are you trying to cover the scar? You can't see any blood. Baby, you got to see what's going on up under the scar, right? Sometimes they got to cut you open to remove scar tissue so that it can re-heal properly. Ooh, yes, sir, Lord. Okay, let me move on. I got some folks mad at me right now. About to throw that Bible at me. Watch this. So the mountain experience is this boy struggling with his issue, and they say he's a lunatic. But from the text, we discover that the things he was doing outside was a result of a spiritual issue he had on the inside. The Bible says that this boy was demon-possessed. Jesus, in a moment, is going to have to cast out this demon. In verse 18, rebuke him, and the demon is going to come out. Now watch this, because this external activity had an internal problem. And the point I'm trying to make is, if we're going to remove the visible mountain of your fruit, then it's indicative that we are going to have to get down to the invisible mountain of the root. You want to deal with the fruit and not deal with the root. You want to massage and deal with the bad fruit. I need to know why I'm producing bad fruit. See, it's a different in mindset. You say, well, throw it down, pluck it down, pluck it off, throw it away, and reproduce. Guess what? You're going to keep reproducing things that shouldn't be. So let's get down to the root and deal with the real issue. You know, every problem has a solution. It's just a matter of us getting to the root. getting to the root. Watch this. We all have some scars. And as far as everybody else is concerned, right, when they saw this boy coming, they automatically, listen to me, automatically label him as crazy. And some of you here right now, the folks have labeled you just crazy. You don't even know it. They don't even know your name. They call you crazy. Right? If you know that person, don't look at them. I'm telling you. They don't even know your name. All they know is that folk, they crazy. Don't talk to them. Don't talk to them. They're crazy. Many of us have been trying to chop down mountains that are seen without addressing the underground, which is not seen. And if we try to fix a mountain that you can see and you don't know what the issue is under the mountain, then what you're doing is messing with the fruit when the problem is in the root. Verse 19 teaches that the disciples, watch this, God's people, God's men were confused. And they asked, the Bible says, in private, asked Jesus. They asked Jesus, hey, what's going on? Why couldn't we cast out this demon? The Father is confused because he doesn't understand what the real issue is. The Son is confused because he's in the midst of the situation, the mountain. The disciples were confused because they were ordained by God to be able to cast out the demon. And they couldn't cast it out. The people, if you look at Mark chapter 9, the people, watch this, are confused. Why? Because they thought that the disciples would be able to cast out the problem. So now everybody's confused about this mountain. Everybody is confused about this mountain. Boy, it sounds like the church today, doesn't it? Mountains come and can become quite confusing. Why does this thing have me like this? Now let's correct some things because we've gotten it all twisted. You can have a physical problem. And if you do, you need to go see a doctor. So don't think or take what I'm saying. If you got some issues, yeah, don't go to the doctor. Just have faith. Speak to and move this mountain. No, no. If you got a physical problem, you need to go see a doctor. Let's get that together. All right? Stop tripping. Stop tripping. Yep. But this mountain, this story, has to do with a spiritual issue. And the issue, watch this, I can't have a spiritual issue and go see a doctor concerning the physicality of my body. Doctor can't give you no answer. Talk to me. I wish I had time to talk about witches and warlocks. I wish I had time to talk to you about it because some of us are going to the physical doctor who has a degree and he can't help you in that area. Let me tell you how he's going to help you in the area. He's going to pump you full of medication till you become a zombie. And that's not going to fix the issue. Some of y'all are going to text me after this service, send me an email after this service. Hello, talk to me. Yeah, see, while you're fasting, right, it's going to help you to identify some of these issues in other folks' lives and even in your own life. Some folks told me, they said, Pastor, since I've been fasting, I've identified some things I've never seen before in my life, in my own life. Not only that, you get to identify things in your members of your family life, in your household. Watch this. Because fasting breaks down the core of your flesh and opens up the spirituality that God has placed on the inside of you that is of God. It opens you up to a supernatural world that is going on every day. And we wonder why the church can't function in its rightful place. We become too fat on the things of life. y'all don't want to talk about that. Okay, let me move on. It's real in the field because the mountain can be quite confusing. The disciples were embarrassed. They were saying, come out. And nothing was happening. Be changed. and nothing was happening. This helps us know that if the disciples couldn't do it, why? Because we're supposed to be able or not to be able to do all things, right? You can't do everything. So it's one way that it helps me, right? You can't do everything. That's why it's important to understand the body. Come on, talk to me, fivefold ministry. Phew, y'all ain't ready for that, right? We ain't talking about that on that level, Pastor. What are you talking about, right? Fivefold ministry. To make sure that the ministry is operating on all cylinders. Okay, okay. Stick with the storyline, Pastor. They're ready to go eat. Okay. So that leads us to this place of confusion, to what the true diagnosis was. Many times we can be or have wrong diagnosis and get into something that we have no business being in. Watch this. Wrong people, wrong diagnosis, wrong direction. Wrong direction, wilderness experience. And your wilderness experience will cause you to die due to wrong diagnosis. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying stop listening to every person in the building, right? You can't listen to every preacher. You can't listen to every televangelist. You can't listen to every so-called prophet. You better stop listening to everybody or you will go crazy. People come to me all the time. I got this person talking to me. I got this person talking to my life. Let me tell you something. Stop it. Shut all them folks down, and you're going to deal with the one that you're going to make your pastor, right? Because you can't sit and listen to everybody. Let me tell you something, because I know y'all watch TV and y'all like this stuff, right? If you listen to T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Kenny Copeland, Joel Osteen, look, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go crazy. All 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 of them folks got different messages. You're going to be sick. I promise you. You got quotes plastered all over the place from all different types of men and women. And guess what? If I read that wall, and if I read that wall, I'm going to be confused because they're talking about something totally different. You don't know where to go. Listen, you know, you're spinning around. You're like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Who to call? Who to call? Who am I going to call? Listen. You got too many folks speaking into your life, right? I mean, you got too much going on, right? Let me tell you something. Anything that's got multiple heads in your life is a monster. You know, you kids do this. We've all done this. You know, you don't like what mama said, so you go to daddy. And if daddy's smart enough, he say, man, whatever your mama said. You know why? Because daddy's going to give something totally different than mama going to give. Some one of y'all going to have to give the answer. Both of you can't give the answer. Talk to me. How do you have two CEOs? You don't. It doesn't work, right? You can't have two shift supervisors on the same shift. Somebody going to be up and somebody going to be beneath. Everybody can't be in the same position. Maybe that's why you have so many different types of relationships. Maybe that's why you use this one and that one and that one and this one, because according to your issue. Okay, that's too much. Move on, Pastor. Move on. I'm telling you, wrong people will give you the wrong diagnosis. And you wonder why you're walking around sick, why you're walking around with headaches, why you can't think for yourself. You got too many people in your life. I would tell you it's called prostitution, but then you have to learn about pimping, so I ain't going to help you out. Okay, let me move on. I'm gonna close right here. Yeah. I'm gonna close right there. Y'all ain't ready for that type of message. So you can look good externally and be dying internally. The issue is never the fruit, but always the root. You must diagnose the spiritual cause if you're going to fix the external expression. If you have an addiction, that is the symptom, not the problem. Talk to me a little bit, Pastor. Teach me. Food addiction, sex addiction, drug addiction, money addiction, all are symptoms of an internal problem that's been living inside of you. you've just never addressed the real issue. You've been to church all your life, and nobody has exposed the internal issues that you carry. It's called baggage, and it's called strongholds, and it's called mountains. Say to this mountain, be moved. Let me close here, because I feel my voice leaving. And I got some help. I had one preacher say, go ahead. You know what I mean? Let me tell you about the mustard seed. You know what I mean? Close up, Pastor. Let me tell you about the mustard seed. The mustard seed, this is great teaching. The mustard seed says, have faith the size of a mustard seed. That scripture was never about the mustard seed. It was never about how small the mustard seed is. It was about your faith. Let me tell you how this falls in line with fasting. The mustard seed planted in good soil will take root and create an expression. It's called growth. But when you plant the mustard seed into soil, so, and then something takes place and the cultivation starts to take place, but the mustard seed outer shell has to crack. And when the mustard seed's outer shell cracks, on the inside are smaller seeds. The smaller seeds cannot be cultivated until the outer shell cracks. When you're fasting, you're cracking the outer shell of the mustard seed of faith. How is it that I crack the outer shell of the mustard seed of faith? Because I'm crucifying the flesh. My flesh is my outer shell. My outer shell has been bold for all of its life. I've got to crack down on some things so that what's inside of me can come out and express. I've sown, now it's time to grow. Now let's multiply. The small seeds on the inside of the mustard seed takes root and begin to express itself. Small seeds are representation of Holy Ghost. By faith, I shall have what I speak. But I've got to crack the outer shell of my flesh. Have faith the size of a mustard seed. Have faith the size of a mustard seed so that I can sow, grow, and produce. That's enough. That's all I had. Fasting. I thought they was going to jump up and help me. Hey, I ain't got no more. Fasting causes me to turn down the things of the flesh so that he can become big in my life. I said, who's he? God. God has placed himself inside of us so that he can come through us. But God says, I won't come through until you crack me through. Good God Almighty. You got to crack that outer shell. What is in compass of this outer shell? What is my outer shell composed of? Baby, I ain't talking about no epidermis and no dermis and skin and the physicalities there. I'm talking about the spiritual sense. Clashing with the flesh. God says, how can I become big in your life if everything wrapped around you, your shell, has covered everything that I want you to become? The food has become your God. Materialistic things like cars has become your God. Fashion has become your God. Your home, your 5-6-bedroom home has become your God. Your life, your career has become your God. The church has got it wrong with positive thinking. Positive thinking is great, but positive thinking without the Holy Ghost is nothing. You, let me tell you something, let me expose some of the preachers. You will not win with just positive thinking. What's wrong with us now? We only want to come to church and fellowship with the people, with the assembly, because we're going to think positivity. Positive thinking, just think positive. You can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you cannot. You cannot do it by just thinking positivity. You need God inside of you. Why would God put himself inside of you if he didn't want to expose himself to you? Talk to me. Right? Talk to me, elders. Walking around, don't want to be broken. He says, look, I need for you to be broken. Because all the things you've acquired, I didn't give to you. Right? You ain't got no joy, I gave you joy. You ain't got no peace, you're depressed, I gave you peace. I gave you comfort. I gave you love. I told you I was done. I'm done. I gave you all these things. Y'all trying to hurt me. I want to close. I want to close here. And I want to call my elders up. Come on. Y'all come on up. Come on up on stage with me. Come on. Y'all help them up. Come on. Yeah. Now, I'm supposed to be able to call on these folks anytime. Where are my deacons and deaconess? Stand up in the house, come on. That's all we got. That's it. Deacons and deaconess. Oh, some of y'all took vacation. I'm supposed to be able to call on these folks anytime. The question is, can I? Deacons, deaconess, can I call on y'all? Will you be sleeping at 3:30? Somebody say yes. She said yes. Oh, yes, I can call on you. I thought you said yes, you were sleeping. So you're going to be sleeping, but I can call on you. Amen. Watch this. If this be God, then First Lady can call on you too. Says, if it be God, then the parishioners can call on these folks. I don't want to ask you, can you call on them or not? Because some of y'all are going to say some other things. Now, everybody stand. Everybody stand. Look around. Some folks is out today. Really doesn't matter. Right? He says you only need two or three. Two or three. And then we got many more than two or three. Where's the love that he commanded us to operate in? To be honest, I get sick and tired of just talking about the same stuff, right? I get tired of talking about gossip and slander. And, you know, when we're going to grow up and mature, right? I mean, when we're going to be responsible and do the work, thank you, of the kingdom. Make no mistake about it, we are a church like no other. I've been in and a part of a lot of churches, big, small, super big, it doesn't matter. if his presence is not there, man, you can put us in a shoebox. Put me where his presence is. I'm saying it's time to really get serious about ministry. It's time to really get serious about ministry. Study to show yourself approved. Say, practice what you preach. Preach what you practice. Doesn't make none of us perfect. Not a one. There's not one perfect individual in here. From the pulpit to the door to the parking lot, there's not one perfect individual here. If you meet one, then you need to run or bow. Gonna have to be Jesus, right? I want to pray right now because there's so much clutter in the church. I feel it in my prayer life. I feel it while we're fasting. I want us to join. I want us to come. I want the left and the right. Let's connect with the middle. Everybody, let's connect. Let's join hands. Let's join hands. Come on, come on. Ministerial staff, come on. We're not going to be separate. We're going to join in. We're part of the body. Come on, everybody. Yeah, y'all, come on. Let's come on down. Can you help them down? Come down. Thank you. Come on, we're close like it's Bible study. Come on, close it in. Come on. Your worship, your ministry, your relationship, first and foremost with God, is detrimental. And it has become expensive because you keep holding on to it. I'm telling you right now, if you want to be truly set free, you're going to let go of some things that your neighbor can't see right now. And when you truly let them go and allow God to fill that void that's in your life, you're going to feel different. You're going to look different. You're going to see different. You're going to worship differently. Your praise will be different. It's a level and a place of maturity that it takes a decision from you, a leadership by God, for you to live in and operate in. You want to talk about your marriage? Your marriage will never be the same if you would let go of what you deem the weakness. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your thoughts, which are not our thoughts. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for our inability not to be able to do some things just so we can yield over to you. For some of us, we're struggling in our body, struggling in our minds, struggling to be set free. God, you created us to be free. And we realize we can't do it without being transparent. First and foremost with you and with your fellow man. You said, love them as we love ourselves. if there's anything that is living or has resonated inside of us, God, deal with the issue right now. Deal with the issue right now. We don't want to be a hindrance to our praise, our worship toward you, for you. You're God and God all alone. Nothing shall come in between or separate your child from you. Now, Holy Spirit, continue to do what you do. Continue to mold us from the inside out. Break us and crack us until you're revealed. Even though it hurts, even though it's pressure applied to us, even though we have to give up some things that we love that's enticing to our flesh, crack us until you make us whole. Break us until you make us whole. Break the mold that you did not build, but has been built and set from a culture and a mindset that is of Satan. God, we thank you in this hour. Thank you for your presence. We ask you to bless whatever we have to give, for that you love a cheerful giver. Bless our communities. Bless our household. Bless our children. Bless our parents. Bless every sick and shed-in person that's here. Thank you, God, for allowing us to do your work for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name, thank you for the blood. Let the entire church say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.